We were at this ranger camp, and we went into Pinewood that evening. And the next day there was, I think, 8 teams going to Holy Cross. There was deep snow, and each team would go ahead for so many miles, and then another team go ahead to make it easier for the others behind. But Mitch and Doug were all tired, and by the time we got to in the portage down here, must be about 4 miles, 5 miles from here. The dogs wouldn't go anymore. We had to leave them there. We tied them up. They tied them up, and somebody took me in their sled, Alexander, I think. And we came up from there. And next day they sent some of the mission boys down for the dogs. And I stayed up here in the mission. There was a nurse, one of the sisters were a nurse. And they kept me in there for about 6, 7 days, something like that. And by that time, all the pains and everything went down. And all I lost was a toenail, that's all. The feet just come just right, you know. I never lost nothing. Yeah. And I guess that's about all I can tell, I guess, of that olden time trips.
What did you do after you stopped carrying the mail?
Huh?
What did you do after you stopped carrying the mail?
Oh, in the summer I work on the boat, on the boat thing. I work for about, how much I work, 10 or 20 years for this outfit, Turner and Woods. See, Turner's tall, the old man. He was, and after they got through all that, he got me to run the store here for him. And I got it, and in the meantime, at that time I was postmaster in Sacramento. I ran the store for him there. But there was no, in the summer, all the people go to Yukon to fish, you know. Nobody left there. So I work on the boat, even I was postmaster. And I spent one night, get there in the evening and leave there in the morning, do my post office work every week or so. And there was no post office. At that time there was to be Holikitchuk village, you know. And the trader in there was Keating, Paul Keating. And he sent in the report that I was not minding the post office. And they wrote to me that I should spend at least 1 hour a day. It was a small little post office. And I wrote back, I spent more than that. I spent how many hours every trip. They said that I just go, you know. They didn't mind. Anyway, oh, that reminds me, there's another thing. When I was still carrying mail, the postmaster in the Stewiak, had a post office. I was not supposed to go in there. It didn't call for my contract. But to accommodate them, I brought a mail in there. And so they'd write into Washington so that I get the pay for going in there. So about a couple of months after that, I got the letter from Washington. Good news for you. You're going to get paid. I said, that's okay. And he says, you get the... post office used to get a cancellation, whatever stamps they sold, they get that was their pay. They get back that money from the post office. Even when I was postmaster, that's what I used to get paid for the stamps I sold. And anyway, he told me that you get part of a cancellation of all the mail you bring out. So that's first that. It happened that day there was one out. And you know that time first class was 3 cents? Well, I He said, you get 1 cent and a half, and I get 1 cent and a half for the trip. And I told him, you kid. And, yeah, that was... So, that was our pay for the mail run, for a side trip, yeah, cent and a half. Anyway, when I was after in the fall, when we got through with that, they sold their outfit to Downland Shepherd. There were two outfits hauling freight up. And anyway, when Turner asked me if I wanted to run the store for him, I said, okay. You know, the fellow was running the store, his name was Gearhart, Charles Gearhart, and he was sick all the time and he wanted to go out. And this ground all belonged to the mission, you see. And so he asked Father, is there, get the willing to run it? Father said, sure, anytime. You can take it over anytime. So he bought this Gearhart out. And we started the store like that. We used to have sometimes 100 ton in the spring and 100 ton in the fall come in. We bought a big warehouse. He built us two big warehouses down. You see them down there. And he did a lot of business. He sold lots. After he died, I got sick. There was this health boat, you know, used to come down to Yukon. And they examined everybody, and they found out I had TB. And they wanted me to go to Juneau, to the TB hospital. So I went the next spring, they sent for me. I don't know who they mind the store. They got the boys in to mind the store. And I stayed there till spring, till winter. I went in spring. In the fall, they said they transferred me to Mount Edgecombe, and they said maybe you'll get a surgery over there before you go home. When I went to Mount Edgecombe, they wanted to know what I got over there for. There was a Negro doctor, I forgot his name. He was a head doctor. Oh, Cunningham. His name was Cunningham. Yeah. And he examined me. He says, there's nothing wrong with you, is it? But they have a spot in your... It's all healed up, is it? And been healed up for a long time, for years. Says, you have. So I stayed there about another month more, and they finally said they'll have a meeting and they'll know what to do. They said if they agreed to take that this side, to take the part of the lung out, cut it up and take that spot off. He says it might open any time and you'll get it again. And I said it's up to you, doctor, so you know what's best. So I decided to give me surgery. They took about 6 ribs out of my ear, took it off.
Your right side?
And I told them, it took about 4 or 5 hours for the surgery. It took me off. And when I come to, I was in the bed in the little room. Doctor was there. And one of the fathers came on. And it, I wouldn't give you 5 cents for your life a little while ago, but now you're coming through. Yes. They had the oxygen tank there. I heard somebody calling me after when I was waking up. Willie from far away. And that had been the nurse. And I was just starting to wake up. And maybe half an hour or an hour after that, I woke up. They made me walk already. And I took my purse. I wanted to go to the toilet, you know, and they brought me in there. But they had a car holding me at the corral. And from there, in no time I got healed up. And I always asked the doctor how I'll do with my, I'll have no ribs. Oh, he said, he'll go in 3 months, you'll see, you'll find it. Now I have all the ribs solid. And after that, I stayed about 2 or 3 months, I guess. And I came back. And that's about all.
Do you know what year it was that you stopped carrying the mail?
Huh?
Do you know what year it was that you stopped carrying
what
the mail?
What year?
Yeah.
No, it's the year that airplane took it over. Only by that we'll know. The first one that carried the mail from here to Northside was called by the name of Nat Brown. He had a terrible one of these cups. And he had moose-skin sewed on the doors, you know, to keep together. And here and there he had baling wire tied. I don't know how many times he had crack up with that plane. They always managed to keep it flying again. But after that he got a different plane. He flew a long time. Yeah, the rest, that's all I can say. Then, when I came back from the Seward, from Mount Edgecombe, the Father McIntyre was postmaster here. And they came down and asked me if I would take the job. The bishop, it seems, didn't want them to handle it. They want somebody to take it over. And I can try it. I don't know nothing about being postmaster, working on the boats and all that kind of sort. All that gave me some kind of idea of bookwork and everything. So I took it over and we moved it down from the mission. We moved it down here. And it must have been after that, I guess, I found Genevieve up there and I got married. Anyway, after years, this Alaska Association of Postmasters, I forgot the name of it. Anyway, every summer they have a convention. And I used to go every summer. See, our expenses are paid. From the time we leave to we get paid, like we're working, still working in the post office. And all our expenses, we can deduct that in our income tax. And I didn't lose anything. The only thing I lost when I bring her along, I had to pay her. We went everywhere. The only place I missed was Ketchikan. Cordova. Not Cordova, what do you call them? Kodiak. That's the only place I miss. And I still can go. We have reservations if we want to go. But every year they send the thing to fill out. I never went since I let out. And we went to Anchorage, we went to Fairbanks, we went to Sitka, we went to Juneau, and we went to Douglas, and then Ketchikan, and then over and Yakutatu didn't go. It was pretty good. Wonderful experience to travel around, you know, meet all those people. they enjoyed as much as I did. It was nice. Because we, from Ketchikan, we took the ferry. I mean, from Haines, we took the ferry to Ketchikan. We went in with there was postmaster at college in the family. He's not postmaster no more. His name was Mr. Wild. I forgot his first name.
Everett,
yeah. He's still working in the post office in Fairbanks, but some other division, I don't know what. He has a bigger job than what he had before. And he has a nice big car. The postmaster from Nome, from Gamble, her and me. We went up in one car now. And we went there, and from there we left the car at Haines. From Haines we took the ferry, and Hughes is coming back the same way. You never been over that highway? It's a nice trip. While I was carrying mail, I had to do some prepping in between. It took me... I could make the trip in 3 days if I wanted to from here to Mars, but I tend to take a week, easy on the dogs, you know. And then half the month I have nothing to do, I used to go trapping. And we used to trap beaver across the, up in the hills. And one time ago, we went and we left, it was just like Chinook weather that, and we went from here in the afternoon, and our first camp is about 25, maybe 30 miles from here. We start to have our beaver trap. Now we put the tent and we camped on what they call Render River, right behind the bar, and there was behind the bar there's warm springs under the bank, and we put our tent right over that hot springs, and we from the bank, there's a birch tree, and we use that tree and put a pole out, another pole on the ice, and we put a tent in. And we skinned our beaver, and then when we want water, we just dip water and put it on the stove. And when we were, next morning when we got up, we were still skinning some beaver. I finished mine and went out. When I poked my hand, and a little below us, about 200 feet, here there were three otters, right below us. So I told Mike, this Mike Dementor was with us. And we went and we had about over 20 dogs, two teams. And I told him, so we'd crawl so the otter wouldn't see us, and we'd give it a ride, you know, and they'd come over. Then we walk down to where we come out. We come out and there was one otter sitting out. I wanted to shoot it, and Mike said, no, wait for the others to come out. Well, while we were making all that, he heard of something and he dove, and that's the last we seen him. And they were there all night, right below our tent. And we used to do pretty good trapping. One year the beaver was, they were paying $40 for a beaver. Everybody went out trapping. They used to have a plane go up the Noco from here for trapping. And we got our limit there too. Otherwise, after this last year, they hardly trap anymore just now. These young people they got too much food stamps and all that stuff, you know. Don't have to work hard. They don't seem to care to trap. Just one or two in the village here trap. And that's all I can say.
What other kinds of animals did you trap?
Huh?
What kinds of animals did you trap?
We catch beaver, otter, mink, fox, and lynx. And once in a while, wolverine used to come around. Quite a few, yeah. Yes. That's about all it is. They used to fish in the summer, which can't. And they had a boarding school here at that time, when I was still in the mission. And there was about 100 to 200 pupils here, girls and boys. And they choose only certain boys and certain girls to go down, about 8 or 9 of them, go down and spend the summer. Little way down there, about 15 miles. They had a big smokehouse, and we lived in tents there. And we used to catch fish for the winter use, you know. And we used to put up sand bellies, you know, barrels. The barrels were about, what are they, 200-pound barrels? But those butter barrels are small, 25. I think they're 100 pounds. We put up sometimes 50 of those barrels in the summer before the fish run out. And then the most we put up dry fish, you know, is 20,000 put up. And then that time we used to row down and row back. Every Saturday we used to come for Sunday up here. Row all the, even the girls in their turn, or we don't know what it was, a kicker. Sometimes we'd sail when there was wind. Now they wouldn't do that, they wouldn't think of even going across the river. Even this little slough to go across, they could have a kicker to go across. Yeah. One time when we were, after the girls left, one of the brothers was in charge down there, drying the fish. And there's not much wind in that place where we stayed. And they went on the poles, they turned the fish over so it would dry under. Where the poles rest, sometimes it stayed too long and it gets cooked off from the heat and the fall. But before they get cooked, they turn over and let it dry. You know. And one time we were fishing there and the bears come around and come right under where we were working, and there was no rifle, you know. And tried to scare away, couldn't, they wouldn't look away. Then we didn't mind them, after a while we chased them away. The next day we worked again, and this time there was a whole bunch of bears. We could see them in the woods all along. We count 7 that day. And that time we had a rifle. They brought a rifle up with them. And they killed one of them. From that time they didn't bother us. Yeah, and those times, this Frank Walker, he's up there in Anchorage now. He's one of his daughters working in the airport, in the hospital, I mean the post office there. She's been there for years, she said, must be over 10 years. And now he used to go down to St. Michael from here every spring, rowing all the way. I don't know how many springs he'd go down every spring. They work on those big steamboats, you know, the Sarah and the Susie, you heard of them. They're smokestacks, you know. And they work on those days to burn the wood the first year. And all the natives used to cut the wood in the winter. And But after this first kicker he came, he went outside and he came in with a little even rope, the first one that came up. I don't know if you've seen the top of the handle where they pulled it. It's a little, just like a about that big leg of spool. And that was the handle that was sticking out from the flywheel. And you pull that, you know, instead of using the string. The kickers were made that way, that single cylinder, 3 horsepower. And geez, thought it was coming like everything, coming down the Yukon, come down the road. Some more, and then they used that for going to St. Michael in the spring. But from there, I guess they got to more modern ways of going down. That's about all, I guess.